The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org or www.streamglobedevotional.com.
That's not what Jesus said. Jesus Christ said, rejoice because your names are... You can go and find it. This is a Bible study. Have you noticed that this study, I've not been giving you Bible verses. I'll just be quoting the Bible. Because I want you to learn. You need to know the Bible, not just by cramming. You need to understand the Bible. It must become part of the way you think. Praise the Lord. Say, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This is 2019. You can easily run a search on Google and find the Bible verse. Praise the Lord. Rejoice because you say, don't rejoice. The reason, and let me explain this. You see, this is utter. If I say, rejoice because your name is written in utter, what does that mean? It may be difficult for now. In my office is a big, where I work, it's a big complex, it's a big compound. There are some streets. There's a particular street called, inside the compound, called Olota of Ota Street. So that street is named after the Olota of Ota. You know why it was named after the Olota of Ota? Because on this earth, as far as Nigeria is concerned, as far as this land is concerned, he's a man of authority. So people begin to write the names of people who are people of authority in their cities. There are some buildings in that place that are named after some people because they were people of authority as far as that organization is concerned. That's the way things are done. And you see, that's the way it is also. You see, many things on the earth, truth is parallel, are just a reflection of the things in the heavens. There are people whose names are written in heaven. Now, let me just use earthly nomenclature, number 14, Peter Street. Are you getting my point? And when you begin to have, you get to that level of authority in God's kingdom, demons will run away when you talk. Now you need to realize that even though the 12 disciples would like talking about them as if they were baby Christians and all of that and all of that, let me tell you something. It's not everybody that could cast out demons. Even that time they were casting out demons. Jesus Christ told them that nobody can be my disciple except he's willing to forsake father, mother, family and all of that. These people had been following Jesus for at least 2 years by the time this thing happened. And for these 2 years, they left their businesses. They left their families. They were no longer husbands to their wives because they were now following Jesus and living with Jesus and going from city to city and town to town. What it meant is that they didn't have time for their wives. They didn't have time for their children. That's what Jesus said. He said, anyone that will be my disciple, he was talking to the people that will follow him. He said, you have to forsake everything and follow me. What happened to Peter and John? Peter, James, and John, sons of Zebedee. James and John, sons of Zebedee. They left their trade. They were fishermen. That was their livelihood. That was what they used to do. That was what they were doing to make money to pay their children's school fees. They left it and they started following Jesus up and down. You can imagine what their family members would have told them. What is wrong with you? This is just I hope you know Jesus wasn't paying them salary. Praise the Lord. This is just that you are falling up and down. What's the pillow here? Some of them were married. Peter, for example, was married because we saw that he had a mother-in-law. And so he got to see his family. Maybe anytime that Jesus Christ passed through his hometown, then he would quickly go and greet his family. Are you getting what I'm saying? So these people were not small people by kingdom. Because one of the things is that you gain ground in the kingdom of God, the more you lose your attachment to earthly things. You may be very blessed. You may have a lot of things. It doesn't matter. But the point is that you gain ground in the kingdom of God, the more you lose your attachment to earthly things. Look at Father Abraham. He gained so much ground. Every time that the Lord gave him an instruction to separate himself from an earthly thing, he gained ground in the kingdom. The first time God told him to leave his father's house, his people and all of that. And then God started speaking to him. And then the time came that he separated from Lot. Do you remember? Immediately he separated from Lot because Lot was the only, you know, he was supposed to leave his father. He was supposed to leave everybody. But he carried Lot along with him. Family member. He didn't want this. Nobody likes being alone. It's a horrible feeling. He needed his kith and kin among him. Lot was not just one man. You know, Lot had his wife or wives and children and servants and all of that. So he wasn't just alone. You know, they were a community of their own. But God wanted him. And when Lot left him, God appeared to him. No, be so. Remember when he had this child, Ishmael? God told him to send the child away. Then remember the ultimate sacrifice when God told him to sacrifice his son, Isaac, his only son. And when he was willing to sacrifice it, he entered a higher level with God. God said, now I know. And then God started lavishing upon him promises. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. What I am saying is that the more you are, the less attached you are to earthly things, the more mileage you will gain in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. All right, so, say rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We are talking about the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to return, Revelation chapter 20, and rule and reign over the earth for 1,000 years. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, human beings will still be on the earth the way human beings are on the earth. There is no glory that you can get now in this present dispensation of the earth that can be compared to the glory that will come. Oh, I am talking about physical glory. Oh. Praise the Lord. Because what's going to happen is that Jesus is going to be the king of the whole earth. This physical, I'm not talking about one kingdom that's coming, which is true. There's a kingdom that's coming in the fact that a new heaven and a new earth will be created. I'm talking about this earth. This land will still be called Ota. Lagos State will still be here. Ondo State will still be where it is. And Jesus Christ is going to come and take over the government of this earth. He will come with glory and authority. We are going to ascend. We are going to descend. All of us will descend and congregate over this land of Israel in Jerusalem. And all of these are scriptural, backed by several prophecies. Read Psalm 2. And all the nations of the earth will be troubled. Aliens have arrived with alien technology. They want to come and take over the earth. Have you watched, if those of you who watch movies, you may have seen an alien movie. Those movies are just predicting what will happen, what will inevitably happen. And aliens have come to take over, and yes, we will come and take over. In fact, the Bible says that we are aliens and pilgrims on this earth. Even right now, we are aliens. The reality of who we are will be revealed when the resurrection comes. That's when you will realize that even though you may be a twin, if your twin brother is not born again, you people are not the same. Because if your twin brother is still alive when the Lord Jesus comes, you will change to the glorified body, super body, and all of that, and your twin brother will still be the way you are right now. And after a few years, he will die, but you will not die. In the next 1,000 years, you'll still be on this earth, ruling your twin brother's great-great-grandchildren. Praise the Lord. I believe our government will be so wealthy that we'll be able to explore gold outside this planet Earth. And we'll be able to pave our streets literally with gold. This Earth does not know perfect peace, not even today. And yet today is one of the most peaceful days, relatively, that the Earth has ever seen. This time that we are in now. Thanks to the United Nations, thanks to more responsible global leadership, and all of that. And thanks to the coming of Jesus. The reason why America is not using their power to collect everybody's wealth by force and kill you if you don't give them is because the framers of that country framed it according to the Christian principles of fairness and equity. That was the only reason why slave trade could end in that land. It would have never ended. Because the framers of that country framed it according to Christian principles. And when you look at the principles that formed that country, slave trade was not consistent with it, even though they were practicing it when they were writing the constitution. Because that constitution was, God was the one that inspired them to write it the way they did. Praise the Lord. And so we have a more peaceful world today because of the influence of the coming of Jesus Christ. Say peace on earth and goodwill toward men. You know, when Jesus was being born, and that's true. The earth has, human civilization, the most traceable human civilization, using the Bible and other historical materials that have antiquity that is, that could be a little bit close to that of the Bible. What I mean antiquity is that is, the original manuscripts are really old, and yet they are true. Okay. I don't want to bore you with all of that history jargon. I'm not a historian, by the way. But you see, the Bible is a book. It's not just a religious scripture. It's a book of history. Verifiable history. In fact, it has more antiquity than most historical books. Because of the factors of religion and all of that, it was well preserved. So any historian that knows his onions will also consider the Bible as one of the most accurate historical literature you can find out there. Now, what I'm saying is that according to historical literature that we can find, because when you find human civilization, we take notes, we write. We write on papyrus, we write on stones, we write on everything we can write on. Human civilization has not existed for more than 6,000 years thereabouts. Forget all those fossils they say they saw. We're talking about history record taking. Why was it that those fossils that are 7 million years, how were they keeping their records? Anyway, I don't want to even go into all of that. But the point I'm making is that we are in 2000 years, 2019 AD. There was, I think about 3000 BC and all of that. Before 2000, so when you add it up, you have like 5,000 years. But before that, human beings had been existing and there were proofs of their existence and all of that. Now, but the point I'm making is that if you want to calculate human history before and after Christ, the greatest development and improvement that the human race has ever seen happened after Christ came. And that's why it is even Jesus Christ that defines the current calendar that we use. So we are 2019 years AD, so it will be after Christ. Anno Domino. Praise the Lord. That's how important Jesus, of course. We cannot oversee how important the coming of Jesus Christ is to the human race. That's how important the coming of Jesus is now. But this is what I'm saying. For the 3,000, 4,000 years before Christ, with all the improvements and civilizations, and yes, they had great civilizations those times. I mean, they built the pyramids. I don't think we can even build the pyramids today with the level of technology we have, because the pyramid is a scientific marvel. The dimensions correspond with the dimensions of the earth and all of that. You can go and read about the pyramids, the Egyptian pyramids. It's a marvel. It's still a mystery today. Now, they built all of those things. So they were not all backward people who didn't know anything. They were not animals. They were people like us. Praise the Lord. So they kept improving for all of those years. And my point is that for all of those years they improved, they never got to a point where they experienced the level of peace that we're experiencing now in just 2019 years after the death of Jesus. And the reason, what's the difference? The coming of Jesus. So they had been existing for thousands of years, much more than this. And the population didn't even grow to be more than 150. By the time Jesus Christ died, the whole population of the earth was around 150 million or so. Today we are 7 billion. So the growth rate between that time and now is much higher because of peace, relative peace. That time there was a season when kings went to war. War was everybody fought war. You had something I wanted, I fought you, and I took it. It was the wild, wild west out there. But after the coming of Jesus Christ, peace and goodwill started increasing among men. That's why today, war is not so common. Even though there are some pockets of the world, especially parts of the world, that refuse to expose themselves to the truth of Jesus Christ. The most troubled part of the world today is the Arab world, because they are the part of the world that have refused to accept Jesus Christ as a bloc. Until today, they are the ones fighting war. There is no part of the world that accepted Jesus. The Western world, when they accepted Jesus Christ, they were in peace. When they started entering rebellion, that's when the First War and the Second World War started. And all of those things were reminders. And then there was an awakening after the First World War and the Second World War. Spiritual awakening. Praise the Lord. And right now there's another backsliding, and if care is not taking it, we fight another war. But what I'm saying is that the degree to which people are aligned to the righteousness of God, they will experience peace on the earth. And what will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ will return is that He's going to come in the fullness of His power and glory, and the whole world will be under His authority, and there will be peace. Universal peace. There will be no, because every square inch on this earth will be under His government. There will be no single territory on this earth that will be at war. He will put people like me and you in Jesus' name. He will put people like me and you as governors and rulers over this earth. I'm not telling you fairy tales. These things I'm telling you are the promises that the Lord promised us. And He gave us proof that these promises are true. He promised us that we are going to receive the Holy Spirit. And today we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the seal of our inheritance. It's the proof that every other thing that God promises us will receive. He's the key. Praise the Lord. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 2 and 3. You know, I'm telling you to read because you are using a translation I like, King James. Verse 2 and 3.
Do ye not judge the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?
Yes.
And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter?
Read on.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels?
Say, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? He's not talking about one spiritual judgment that's happening in your bedroom when you are praying in tongues. Yeah, that's part of it. But he's talking about the fact that we will judge the world the way high court judges matters in utter. We will judge the world the way international criminal court judges criminals. We are going to physically, literally judge the world. He said, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? He said, if the saints will judge the world, why are you now taking your own matters to these same people that you are going to judge? To judge you. Because when the Lord returns and He has given us the authority over this world, we will judge the world. Now, I like saying this. If Jesus Christ comes next year, amen. By the grace of God, I believe Bill Gates will still be alive. He's one of the wealthiest men, and Jeff Bezos. These people are unbelievers. The wealthiest men in the world. Listen to me. The least person in the kingdom of God, when Jesus comes, will be greater than Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. In fact, Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos will not be qualified to be your houseboy on this earth. Are you getting my point? That's what Jesus has given to us. It's an eternal kingdom. And just in case this earth does not exist, we will still have power and authority anywhere we find ourselves. A new heaven and a new earth will be created. Praise the Lord. You know, every human being that ever existed in this world is not really dead in the real sense of cessation of existence. It's just his body that is dead. Their souls are still alive. Their spirits are still alive. Praise the Lord. You know, a resurrection is going to happen of the dead. Because when God wants to judge them for the sins they committed in the flesh, He will judge them in the flesh. They will resurrect to be judged. Hallelujah. So when the Lord Jesus will return, the least among us will be greater than the greatest that this world has ever seen. And that is a statement of fact. You see, the blessings that God has blessed you as a believer, because of your obedience and faithfulness to Him, Because if you have faith in Christ Jesus, it must produce faithfulness. Any faith that doesn't produce faithfulness is dead faith. It's lip service. If you have faith, it must produce faithfulness. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Good. Now, the Bible says that He will bless you with blessings that you will not have room for. You've seen that? He will bless you with blessings that you will not have room for. What does that mean? It means that He will bless you. The blessings that God is blessing you, these eternal rewards that He's blessing you with. You see, when that kingdom comes, you will now realize that the whole earth, if it's a storage compartment for your treasure, it cannot contain. This earth is too small to store your treasure. That promise is real. Today, in this realm we are in, there is no blessing you can have that there is no room to store. Under this current economic system, it's not possible that you will be so blessed on this earth that there will be no room to store it. So God wasn't talking about this economic system. He was talking about a system that is bigger than this world, whereby one single individual that is blessed by God, that is an elect, is more blessed than all the wealth you can see in this world right now. Such is our expectation. And if the expectation moves from these mundane things, car, house, job, to the real blessed hope that God has promised, your faith cannot shake. Some people backslid because something happened to their job or something. But if your faith is built on nothing else but the blessed hope, there is nothing that can happen to you physically that can touch your faith. As long as the devil cannot touch your treasure in heaven, he can't touch your faith. As long as the devil cannot affect the way God feels about you, and God has loved you with an everlasting love. And let me tell you something. Your faith is a shield. The Bible calls it the shield of faith. If your faith fails, that means you are susceptible. You are open to demonic attacks. Do you get? If your faith fails, it means that you are open to demonic attacks. So it says, above all, take the shield of faith. So the devil knows this. So it is his joy when your faith is predicated on things that can fail. Because if those things fail, your faith will fail. And when your faith fails, you are open to his attacks. What is your expectation from God today? We expect an eternal kingdom that will never end. We expect a kingdom that will rule and reign forever and ever. We expect wealth. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not come into the heart of men the things that God has proposed for them that love Him. Listen to me, brethren. There is nothing in this world, this present world, that's great enough to be compared to the least thing in the kingdom of God that you are going to receive. Now, think about this. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it is those people who were faithful in doing His work here, campaigning for Him, winning souls for Him. They are the ones that He will reward with political position. Now, I'm just using that word political position. I mean kingdom authority. There are some Christians that don't care about the kingdom of God. They only care about themselves. And what's happening today? Because whether you like it or not, in your life, this is your life that you are in, you are building something. Paul said, let everyone be careful how we build. Some are building with straw and hay, with perishable things. But some are building with gold and precious stones. Are you with me? The truth, brethren, is that those people who build with straw and hay are those that are living according to the flesh. They are living for themselves. If you see them coming to church because of what they can get. Those people building with gold and precious stones are those that are living by faith. The Bible likens faith to gold. The Bible says your faith that is more precious than gold. Amen. From the New Testament to the Old Testament, if you read the Bible and you see that word, you see gold there. Look at it very well. Examine very well. It's relating to faith. Are you with me? So if you see a vision and you see gold in that vision, it might be talking about faith. Gold, yes. The most precious possession you have is your faith. Your faith is more precious than gold. Your faith is more precious than earthly gold. Yea, your faith can produce earthly gold. Praise the Lord. Your faith is more precious than anything in this world. And so, brethren, if your faith fails, your shield has come down. And your faith cannot fail if it's predicated on the blessed hope. Amen. 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 May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to make one final point. Going to talk about the blood of Jesus. Because you see, the only reason why we have an inheritance, the only reason why we have access to the kingdom of God, whereby we can grow in the kingdom and become great in the kingdom and have an inheritance in the kingdom and be rewarded in the kingdom, is because of the blood of Jesus. Now, when we say the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is not a token of, you know, the way people use tokens of sorcery. Let me give an example. You know, when people who go to Babalawo, who go to native doctors, they say, go and bring this leaf and this one, mix it together, put it in your pocket. And that's a token. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a token of something. It's basically kind of like, anyway, I don't want to go into all of that. Okay, let me just explain that a little bit, since we're in southwestern Nigeria and a lot of those things happen. Now, first and foremost, remember I always say the Lord frustrate the token of liars and make the diviners mad. Now, whenever such tokens are done, basically what they are things that represent something in the spirit realm. Amen. Most physical things you see on this earth are representing something in the spirit realm. Are you with me? I have to be very careful in saying this because I don't want to sound, in a way that what I say can be misinterpreted. Because this physical realm is a shadow of the spirit realm. So many things you see, even things that human beings thought they invented, they didn't invent it. God just used them to send it to this world. Praise the Lord. So for example, we see a dove. And we know that when we saw that the Holy Spirit came in the New Testament, He came in the embodiment of a dove. He came like a dove. So you see that a dove represents something in the realm of the Spirit. Now what is it about the dove? The dove is a gentle bird. It flies gracefully. They say it's the only bird that doesn't have gall, doesn't have bile. So it's not bitter. There's no bitterness in it. Praise the Lord. When you see the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. What is it about a lion? A lion doesn't turn back from his enemy. A lion is the king of the jungle. A lion is a king animal. It's not a servant animal. Jesus Christ is king of kings. Praise the Lord. And one of the differences between lions and tigers is that lions roar. And there is so much power in the roar of the lion. One of the things you must know that you have as a child of God is that you have the ability to roar. What is the roaring? The words that you speak. They are powerful. The Bible says, He sustains all things by the word of His power. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus is not called the elephant of the tribe of Judah. Because elephants don't roar. Praise the Lord. There is no animal in the jungle that roars like a lion. Have you ever heard the real roar of a lion? It's really loud. You would think they put microphone, they would think they put loudspeaker there. You will now know why many animals fear when they hear that sound. Praise the Lord. And the lion does not just roar, it's also really powerful. Now, one of the things I would just say is that, but what I'm saying is that blood of Jesus is not just a token. The blood of Jesus is real. The blood of Jesus is like a receipt. If I buy, what's the biggest thing I can buy right now? If I buy an estate that has 700 duplex and 300 bungalows and 500 semi-detached self-contained, has more than 1,000 pieces of houses inside, all they will give me is a receipt. And I can fold the receipt and put it inside my pocket. But make no mistake, the proof that I have that massive estate is that receipt. So don't think because it is small, you are getting it. That's all how the blood of Jesus is. You see, all the sacrifice of God, and that sacrifice did not just begin on the cross. Make no mistake, that sacrifice began by God coming, becoming flesh. That one alone is power on its own. You know what it means for God to become flesh? All the temptations that God exposed himself to facing in being a man, it was a sacrifice. Everything that now concluded on the cross with him shedding his blood, sacrifice. When people that he created that he could do like it and they will cease to exist, we're abusing him and slapping him, sacrifice. You think it was only the nail that they took Jesus' hand that was a sacrifice? Has a small boy ever slapped you before? And then after the small boy slapped you, they say he should not do anything. File, Dariji. You know that forgiving him is a sacrifice. A boy that you are the one that trained, that you are the one still paying his school fees, they now say you should continue to pay his school fees. Are you getting my point? The sacrifice of Jesus is not just beginning. Don't make no mistake about it. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus, we're not talking about it has scale. It has eternal scale. Even right now that I'm talking to you, Jesus Christ is walking. The Bible says he lives to daily make intercession for us. He stands before the throne of God, intercede, defending you. You told a lie and the devil wanted to kill you because you told a lie. The devil went to the throne and said, this boy must die. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. And then Jesus Christ says, no, he won't die. I shed my blood for him and all of that and defends you. And because of that, the devil does not have power over your soul. It's a work. The receipt for all of that is the blood of Jesus. So whenever we plead the blood of Jesus as children of God, we are referring to something that is powerful. We are referring to the eternal sacrifice of God. We are referring to the work that Jesus is doing for us right now. We are referring to his death on the cross. We are referring to his resurrection for us. We are referring to the sacrifice of God becoming flesh. Don't play with the blood of Jesus. Now, how do we apply the blood of Jesus? The same way we apply the word of God. Now, saying the blood of Jesus is okay, but that's not the primary way of applying the blood. If you don't understand what the blood of Jesus is, and saying the blood of Jesus is nothing. Are you getting my point? Now, what does it mean to use the blood of Jesus? It's the same way you use it. You say, and he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How do you use the word of God? By remembering it. No, be so? By remembering it. Even a man that cannot speak, if he can remember the word of God, power will enter his spirit. That's the same way we use the blood of Jesus. By remembering all of these things that I have told you. You know, before you can remember the word of God, you must first of all know the word of God. Before you can remember what the blood of Jesus has done for you, you must first of all know what the blood of Jesus means. It means the sacrifice of God. The Bible says we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. He's not just talking about physical poverty. He's talking about all realms, all kinds of poverty, including eternal poverty. Because there was a time that Jesus Christ died. The Father of all things, the source of all things, left him alone. He was bare, alone. He said, you will not leave your Holy One to rot. You will not leave your Holy One in Sheol. He was alone. And that's the definition of poverty. So that was the sacrifice of God. So when you are pleading the blood of Jesus, when you are remaining, you must always remember that you are a product of all of that sacrifice. It's just like when a child remembers the sacrifice that his father made for him to go to school. It will align him. His reasoning will be, there are some things that other boys are doing in school he won't do. Praise the Lord. Because he remembers the sacrifice that his father made for him to go to school. You see, when we say the blood of Jesus, that's what we are talking about. It brings to remembrance the sacrifice of God, and that Jesus is standing and making intercession for us. And because of that, the devil cannot win us. Because of that, we have the victory. And what that does is that it generates faith in your spirit, and you can overcome the devil. Let us pray. Without the blood of Jesus, you cannot inherit anything in the kingdom of God. That is the basis of your faith. The sacrifice of God in becoming flesh. Even the love that God has for you is a sacrifice. Many times we say that love is sacrifice. You do things that you normally will not do because you love somebody. God does not have to love us. Selfish people don't have the ability to love. God loves us. That is a sacrifice. He gave his life for us. That is a sacrifice. He lives daily to make intercessions for us. That is a sacrifice. That is what we call upon when we plead the blood of Jesus. When we bring to remembrance the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus cleanses our sins. Listen to me. What does that mean? Jesus Christ paid for your sin with his life and sacrifice.